You're careful about what you eat and what products you use, and you want the same healthy life for your beloved pets. You've been searching the internet and social media for natural solutions to your pet's issues, and you're trying to find ways to prevent issues from cropping up in the first place. But everywhere you look, you find different answers, varied opinions, and you just end up more confused. Your pet is a part of your family. He deserves the best, and he deserves to live a long, healthy life. I'm here to tell you that it can be easy, that taking care of your pet naturally doesn't have to be a headache for you. I'm going to talk to you about everything natural wellness, including what to feed your pet, how to use herbs and essential oils, massage and hands-on techniques, meditation, communication, and energy healing. If it's natural, it's worth talking about. In this podcast, you'll learn everything you need to know about taking care of your pet naturally, for life. I'm Corrine, and this is the Enlightened Animal Podcast. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Enlightened Animal Podcast. Today, I have the honor of interviewing Annika McDade from Canine Connection Training. Combining the unique wisdom of 15 years of professional dog training with alternative healing modalities, Annika helps you reframe what it looks like to have a deeply connected relationship with your dog. Having worked with wolves in Inner Mongolia, rescue dogs from all over the world, and family pets alike, Annika is as invested in your transformation as she is your dog's. She's committed to helping you and your dog find balance and harmony while learning how to cope with conflict, improve your dog's behavior, and most of all, grow alongside one another. So welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm very excited about this interview. I have so many questions, so we will try to keep it into, you know, the 30-minute mark. We don't want to go on for hours and hours, but very excited to get started. So I love to start the podcast with a story. So if you wouldn't mind, I would love to hear your story of what led you to create Canine Connection Training.
In the Coles Notes version, I always have felt strangely and deeply connected to animals in a way that was a bit abnormal, probably, as a kid. I wasn't allowed to have dogs. And by the time I was 17, I was leaving home to move across Canada to work with sled dogs and hang out with 200 huskies and pick up poop all day long. And that was the beginning of the journey. I don't know what led me down this path and how this all came to be truly. I think it was just following one little breadcrumb and intuition after another. And I've been fortunate enough to make my passion project a successful business that, you know, allows me the lifestyle that I love and allows me to really have an impact on people's lives inside their homes and out on adventures. And so I really feel like it was a soul calling more than anything. And I've just continued to rise to whatever that occasion presents for me.
Oh, that's wonderful. So always evolving then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know, you know, kind of going back a little bit, in your bio, you talked about working with wolves in Inner Mongolia, and that just sounds so fascinating. I'd love to hear a little bit more about that, because that's not something most people have in their bio. Not many people go to Inner Mongolia to begin with, and then on top of it to work with wolves. So I would love to hear more about that.
Yeah. You know what? It's such a blip. It was a 2-year period in my mid-20s, and I had an opportunity to work with animal trainers for film that were doing a feature film in China and northern China. And it was life altering for sure. Wow. There were, I believe, nearly 30 of them. And the work with them was an opportunity to learn the importance of connection. Mm-hmm. You can't force an animal you can't touch to do things. And we had a lot of pressure on ourselves as the trainers to get them to do certain things for the film. And in that industry, it's a very pressure-filled situation. And I was not the head trainer in any capacity. I was a very young student who had an amazing opportunity. And I learned through a lot of observation for those 2 years and really just caretaking for the wolves rather than training them mostly. But that time with them was sacred to me. And you know, although they're very, very different than dogs, it granted me the understanding of what is possible when you're not forcing an animal to do something and you're allowing it to be choice. And even the most difficult challenges can be achieved through that kind of connection. So it just, you know, it really reinforced the power of connection and how beautiful that can really be.
That's beautiful. What a beautiful story, and how lucky to have had that opportunity. And I assume that it has influenced the way you train, because one thing that I love about, and one reason I wanted to talk to you, is because there are a lot of dog trainers out there. Dog training as a career is fairly common for people who love dogs. But what I find so refreshing about what you do is your holistic approach. I think I saw something on your website that said going to the root cause and your dog as your mirror. And I say this so often to people about if there's something going on with your dog, that some behavior that you don't like, you need to look at yourself. And I saw that and I thought, ooh, this is my soul sister. Because not a lot of people talk that, you know, it's not very common in the dog training world. And so I'd love to hear, perhaps, you know, I saw, you know, some of your training, your credentials, you know, in positive dog training, et cetera, but those are more traditional, you know, even though it's positive. How did you come about with this more holistic approach to dog training?
Thank you. I think anecdotally, I began to realize that after 15 years of working with pets and their people, if I'm only focusing on the dog, I'm missing half of the impact that's available to both us and them in terms of transformation and evolving and the depth of love and connection that's available to us. And it became very limiting for me and quite depleting. And I got burnt out. I was just like, this isn't as rewarding as it could be if I had a participant or a client that was willing to look at their end of the leash in a really, you know, pretty vulnerable capacity. Yeah. I think a lot of people think that maybe they're influencing their dog's behavior, but the guilt takes over and the shame takes over. And then they just hyper-focus on fixing and changing the dog so that they can move away from those feelings of guilt and shame. But the guilt and shame is so illuminating and it has to be felt, right? Because on the other side of it is the joy and the self-love and the self-compassion. And I feel like people are so good at giving that to their dogs and so not great at giving it to themselves. And I always tell clients, like, imagine you loved yourself as much as your dog loves you. Like that in and of itself is an incredible practice.
Yeah.
So I think that to answer your question a little bit more directly, I realized that I wasn't having as big of an impact as I could if the conversation felt really open and people were signing up for me to talk about, well, what's going on for you? What do you feel in your body? What happened this morning before the walk that made you so short-fused, you know? Are you rushing along and taking on too much? Is your plate too full? Your dog is probably biting the leash and super agitated because your energy is a little off, you know?
Right.
So it became almost mandatory for me. And to be totally honest, my dog showed me everything that I needed to be teaching others. And I'm so grateful for him for that.
Oh, aren't they our best teachers? Mm-hmm. They really are. We get the dog that we need, don't we?
Exactly.
Yeah. And do you find that it's changed the type of clientele that you have? Because I know there's a lot of, I mean, even though there is a shift happening in the universe at the moment, there's still a lot of people who say, well, my dog is peeing in the house and I just want my dog to stop peeing in the house. And you need to fix this for me because you're a dog trainer. But do you find that because you've shifted your focus and you're energetically shifted that somehow you're attracting a different type of clientele, and are you noticing through the years since you've been doing this for a while that there is just a natural shift in what people are looking for?
Really good question. So you caught me sort of at the beginning of this. I've only shifted to the more holistic spiritual approach to pet coaching in the last year. as I've transformed. I still have two websites, one for training, one for coaching. Coaching is me and you and the dog, and training is coaching you how to train your dog. So I think I shape shift based off of what my intuition tells me is going to be the most impactful for the dog and the person. And where there's room for reflection, I offer it. Where there's invitation for reflection with people, we go right in, and it can be really transformative. But I think it's nuanced. Every dog in every situation is so different. So I have to be able to provide solutions for people where they're most comfortable and where I see that that impact is available for them. And that's difficult. But I, as I lean more and more into, no, this is my sole purpose and this is how we're going to really make some impact here, like on a really deep, almost spiritual level for people learning about unconditional love for themselves, as I've mentioned, I am attracting more and more of it, and it is requiring a lot of trust that there are those people available mm-hmm. and those people are hungry for the support. So you caught me right in the in-between phases, and I'm in a trust fall, and it's a beautiful time.
Oh, that is beautiful. And perhaps maybe you'll see that you're, I don't want to call them traditional clients because I don't like that word traditional, but that the clients that are just coming for dog training, perhaps just by giving them little bits of information, kind of just dropping little nuggets, at some point they'll be ready to hear it, and and they'll just all move over into your coaching naturally.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I think if we just market specifically to the people that we want, then we're not leaving the door open for the people that are open energetically but not aware of it.
Right. And I think that there are people who would be interested, but they're not quite on that journey yet. And they need to be in contact with people like you who can offer that when you feel intuitively that they're ready to hear it, and you can help them and support them up until that point. So it's a lovely way to transition more people over to a more spiritual way of being with their dogs anyways, I think. So
thank you.
You're welcome. And I noticed you have a kind of a signature framework that you work with that you call Deepen. Can you go into that a little bit? Because I found it very illuminating, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. It is your framework. So I would love to hear more. And I think that our listeners would be really interested in hearing how you work with this framework that you've created.
Yeah. So not to go into the nitty gritty details of it, but the Deepen framework is essentially the concept that I look at behavior from animals like symptoms. It's information, it's communication. And a lot of dog trainers will just focus on the symptoms, the barking and lunging on leash, the peeing in the house, whatever it might be. My approach to dog training, and I'd say probably, you know, a lot of good behavior consultants or, you know, committed ones will dig deeper. You know, what's at the bottom of that iceberg? What's under the water? Is it a nutritional concern, which we would have to outsource support on? Is it a physiological concern? Like there's an injury that's undiagnosed that's really impeding on their behavior progression or their quality of life. What's the home environment like? What are the expectations of the dog? Is it consistent? Is it chaotic? Or how are you? Are you okay? You know, are we going through big changes? Are you dealing with health concerns? These are all things that are going to directly impact how your dog shows up on a daily basis. So we go into exercise, enrichment, lifestyle, expectations, emotional environment, safety, trust, history of the relationship. And then we talk about the behavior problems, because I can't offer solutions without understanding your dog's daily experience and, you know, especially their emotional experience on a daily basis. So we use that to be able to offer suggestions that are specific to the goals at hand.
Okay. And do you ever incorporate, because I did notice that you have a lot of alternative trainings as well, like Reiki and other kind of modalities. Do you find that that they can fit in nicely? Do you ever end up doing any kind of energy work or things like that when you're working with your clients? Or is this still kind of new, since this is new for you? Are you still kind of more sitting on the edge of training and just kind of dipping your toe in, or do you find that you can actually add in all the different elements of holistic type of training to your repertoire?
I'm conscious of I have a lot of integrity with education, and I never want to offer something and name it as such until I feel that it is mastered or in a way that I know will serve the animal or the person. Mm-hmm. So although I have a lot of education and experience for myself, with all kinds of alternative healing modalities, like sky's the limit. I'm very open-minded. Offering that in a training perspective or a behavior modification situation, I do very intuitively, but I don't name it. And the only thing that I mean, when I'm working with people, I'm channeling for sure. I don't necessarily tell people that unless they've hired me specifically for a meditation to channel and connect with their animal. I think what I've learned is that my intuition is what has made me, quote, a successful or a productive dog trainer. And I didn't realize it was channeling and intuitive information that was leading me to understand where the dog was coming from. I thought it was my problem-solving brain, my education that was doing it. And I think the unique combination of having both and now learning that I can absolutely trust both and own that there's a level of it that's highly intuitive and highly channeled, it makes me more confident in offering that. So in terms of hands-on healing modalities, I am, you know, certified with Reiki, and I'm doing it again actually next week to update it. But mm-hmm. I'm an ever learner and an ever practicer and a never master just yet. And so I dip my toes in, but I'm careful about what I call things. It's sort of my own way of doing things at this time.
Right, right. Now, again, we are soul sisters, aren't we? Because I'm an eternal learner and loved learning about everything, you know, kind of like jack of all trades, master of none. But I think it's beautiful because, like you said, you can then go down this, once you kind of, you have to have your science brain on for certain things, but then you also have to kind of put it on the shelf and let your spiritual brain take over. And by doing that, it does take you down the path that you need to go. And intuitively you add in things that you feel will work without, like you said, without having to actually label them or saying, I'm going to do this. Which I think is a beautiful way of working. And on that, because I find you so unique in this sense, I'd love to hear, because you've been in dog training for so long, your view on the evolution of dog training, because we have seen so many different, you know, iterations. I mean, I've been in dogs for 30 years and, you know, it's, you kind of go, you know, there's that, I don't want to say the name, the CM form of training, and, you know, very aggressive, and I'm the boss and you must do what I, you know, and the only, you know, you must do what I want. And, you know, if the dog's not listening, flip them on its back and all these horrible things that they, you know, and choke chains and everything. And then seeing this evolution through into positive training, but then there's so many different iterations of positive training, so many different camps, and so many different arguments and competition, which unfortunately the downside of social media is this has kind of been brought to light of seeing, you know, publicly in front of people who are needing assistance, all this infighting. And then there's people like you, which I still feel are quite unique and rare, who are really embracing this holistic and almost more spiritual approach to dog training and giving the dog choice, and giving them a voice. And I would love to know your views on this evolution of dog training and where you see it going and how you see where you fit in and what's next.
Mm-hmm. It's a can of worms you just opened there.
Big question.
You know what? Well, thank you for doing this for 30 years and continuing to not have burnout and lead the way with light, because that shows, and that takes effort for sure in this space. There's so much polarity. Yes. The way that I handle it is, and the way I see it going is, I try not to project my ideals onto people that have not asked for my opinion. And that has served me really well. You can't help people that don't want help, and you can't change people's minds that aren't open-minded. And I will not spend any of my energy on those avenues, because it's somewhat triggering for me. It's just not a beneficial way of expending my energy. I really do try to put my energy into where I can have impact. And I look at everything I do on social media as an offering. I don't spend time commenting on other people's stuff. I don't spend time looking at other people's stuff, even the holistic stuff. I'm here to offer and serve and not to take in that capacity. And that has helped my mental health a lot in the social media space. I don't join on to the bandwagons, and I don't participate in anything dramatic. And some people really feel like that's their best way of having impact, and it just doesn't align with me. It doesn't feel good, and it makes me quite sick, actually. So yeah. I've learned the hard way that staying in my lane and focusing on my little golden path and making it accessible to as many people as possible is how it feels really good for me to have impact.
That's wonderful, yeah.
And in terms of like the future of what it looks like for people in the space of dog training, I hope that the ethics behind dog training continue to be challenged and continue to be questioned. And I think as we evolve in the Western world, especially, our education can increase and our expectations of how we treat animals should be increasing. And I hope nothing more than that for the future.
That's beautiful. And I mean, and we can only hope for that. And hopefully you can inspire, by your approach and the way you're doing things. Perhaps you know, the hope is that you would inspire young trainers who are coming up that there is a different way, because it always has felt like there was just, you know, you're in this camp or that camp and there's no other choice. Mm-hmm. And I think we need more trainers like you who go, no, there is another way to do things, a better way, a higher calling. And so hopefully you can be that light that these young trainers can see in the distance and go, I can be like that. So
thank you. That's so kind. That's so,
you're
welcome. And you know what? It has felt a little bit challenging and brave at times, because if you're not of the specifically science oriented camp, then what the hell do you know? And that's a very real thing in the positive side of training, for sure. And great, to each their own. I can tell you that having a meditation on what might be going on for a dog is not harmful. And I can tell you that my woo-woo alternative approaches are never going to hurt an animal. And yeah, I can sleep at night knowing that. So if it's a little bit too alternative for somebody, then that's their soul's journey. And if it's enlightening to somebody, then jump on my bus. Let's do
right.
this.
I mean, and I think it's refreshing because, you know, obviously, if you're looking at, I have the option of these traditional kind of forceful trainers, or the positive trainer, but the positive trainer that's just saying, you know, spewing science jargon at a person and talking about B.F. Skinner and boxes, and, you know, and it's like, well, you know, for me, it was always problematic because I was like, well, yeah, but my dogs they're not a box. They're not an in and input and output. They're a soul. They have so much more. They have things to say. And you do kind of feel like, okay, well, now no one's going to take me seriously, because now I sound like I'm off my rocker, and I've obviously thrown my science brain in the toilet, and my degrees don't mean anything, because now I'm just, you know, this crazy old lady that's just spewing, you know, spiritual woo-woo. And so I think it's refreshing that there's, you know, trainers like you who can kind of go, you know, no, I'm still sitting on this training fence, but there's a different way to interact with our dogs, and there's a different way to parent them. And I find it fascinating and beautiful.
Thank you. I feel very supported and very seen.
You're welcome. Now, on that note, I have a secret crush on Cedar.
I've never heard this before.
I love your dog so much. If for the viewers who don't know, Cedar is Annika's dog. He is the most magnificent beast I have ever laid eyes on. And I have five of my own dogs. So I say that treading lightly, knowing that I could be attacked and murdered after I get off this call. But I secretly, you know, watch him on Instagram whenever I can. And I've seen your emotional journey with him. And I would love for you to talk about him a little bit, because I feel like he has had so much impact. And I always say, I find personally, my dogs are, I don't want to say they're the worst, but my dogs are not easy dogs, and they have big personalities, and they have lots of quirks and lots of things that they don't like. And they have very, particular ways of being around people, around other dogs and everything. And I feel like they're here to teach me so much about myself and so much about them and their souls and their journeys. And I feel like Cedar 100% has done that for you. And so I would love to hear more, if you don't mind, about Cedar, because I feel like he's such an integral part of this, this journey that you're on.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for seeing that. Yeah. He's something else. You get what you need, not what you want. And thank God I got what I needed. Cedar's been my greatest teacher. I've had a lot of what I would consider like wise or older soul dogs in my life. He's my third of that sort. And I wanted him from the second I saw him when he was born. I was like, that's the one, I need it. And then the breeder pretended I wasn't going to get him. And then at 8 weeks, she handed him to me and I was like, oh, this is the best day ever. So I was really excited. And he ended up having some sort of health issue that he was born with that has never been seen before. And nobody in all of this whole Western Canada veterinary in community knows what's going on with his back legs, but his muscles never really developed normally in his back end. Uh-huh. And he's in chronic pain since he's 8 weeks old. It became really apparent when he was a teenager. And because of that, he missed a lot of social exposure and proper exercise because we were trying to figure his health stuff out. And fast forward, he just turned 4 2 days ago, which is crazy. My entire
Happy
life
birthday,
is
Cedar.
My whole life is different. I can thank him for this transition, for me stepping into the spiritual approach to connecting with animals. I've always had spirituality as a big component of my life, but I was very private about it and separated it from my, quote, work. I think I've woken up through him hand-holding me through it, that like it can be both and I don't need to keep those things segregated, and the magic lies in its integration. And he's allowed me to be much more vulnerable with my clients. And I moved from a city to country, gave up everything that was comfortable and familiar and safe financially. And he's a wisdom keeper. It's funny, his name is Cedar, because that's exactly what the indigenous, I think, the representation of the cedar tree is. But yeah, he's a silent boy. He makes you work for his love. He's very difficult to read. He's extremely sensitive to energy. If I come in a little bit hot or busy or hurried, he will move away from me and like almost cower. And he's never experienced anything scary from a person in his life. So he's challenged my busyness, and my own dysregulation has been mirrored to me by him, and loving him meant, you know, learning to navigate that.
Right.
Oh, I could just go on and on. He's the best teacher. He's a very sweet dog. Unless you're a large male shepherd, in which case he might not be so sweet. He's sensitive to big males for sure.
I mean, he's wonderful. And I think everyone should go follow you just to follow him, even if they don't have a dog, because he's just the most amazing. And his, I think his soul and his grandeur and his wiseness and everything about him just oozes even through the camera. Like, you can feel it. I was instantly connected with him when I saw him. And I think he was the reason I initially followed you, because I wasn't looking for a dog trainer. I do believe that we don't choose them, they choose us. And we think, because we're humans with our big human brains, that we're in charge, but in the end, they know exactly what they're doing. And he's, you know, he is leading you down this path. And I think it's beautiful, this journey. And I appreciate that you are open and vulnerable, and showing, you know, it's not that often that you see, a dog trainer crying on social media with talking about their dog. And I think it's beautiful. And I think the vulnerability actually does make you more approachable to your clients or potential clients, because they see that, even people who have all these credentials don't always have these perfect dogs that walk. You know, you see so many dog trainers that go, look at my perfect dog. Don't you want, and I think sometimes it's unattainable. Mm-hmm. And we don't all have those dogs. I surely don't have a dog. Like, I've never had a dog like that. And I think that dogs like Cedar, bring so much more, so much more richness to your life. Then the easy dog that just goes, oh, you want me to sit? Okay, yes, I'll sit. What do you want me to do? And I'll do it. They don't necessarily bring as much to your journey. And so I think it's a beautiful relationship that you have with him. So
thank you. I feel very lucky to have him.
He's an awesome dog. And he's just gorgeous anyways. I was like, thinking, yeah.
He can do anything. He's so handsome.
He is a handsome boy. Yes, he is. And so I like to end with a question that I kind of just throw out at you. So I have a vision and a mission that I call soul-led dog parenting, which is being a dog parent and bringing into account the mind, body, and spirit. And all aspects are important, equal parts to be this perfect soul-led dog parent and parent holistically. And I would love to know, how you feel what you do fits into this this model.
I think being soul-led means that you're trusting in something greater than simply this human experience in this body, and awakening to the magic that lies at your feet every single day in dog form, I think allows us to connect to the greater energies and workings at play. And helping people honor that belief or knowing or hope that that is true, and learning that they are interpreting their dog in a way that is really meaningful and deep, and learning that we can relate to them as fellow souls in this lifetime, in this crazy place we call Earth, I think it is like a gateway to spirituality, which can bring a lot of joy and trust and beauty and shared connection and love. So I think what I do in some way allows people to get curious about that other realm that exists around us that we're not really programmed to understand or conditioned to really believe in. And so, yeah, I hope that I'm helping in some way in your mission.
You definitely are. And that was just you. What you said was beautiful. So I don't have anything to add to that. That was amazing. Do you have any final thoughts or words that you'd like to share with our audience before we wrap up?
I guess I would just hope that people knew that, like, whatever they intuitively believe about their dog is likely true, and that it's safe to explore that, and that it's actually honoring their dog to let those little pings or intuitions be heard and felt fully. And just give gratitude to your dog for being here to help transmute how hard it can be here. And I really think that they're just the most magical little evolved species that we put on leashes and we try to, you know, get control over, but really they're just here to teach us so much. So yeah, definitely. Just be grateful.
Beautiful. They are angels without wings. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. That was a beautiful, beautiful ending. And so if people want to find out more about you or want to work with you, where can they find you online?
Yeah, thank you. They can go to the Instagram at Canine Connection Training, mm-hmm. or the websites are there. You could also do canineconnectiontraining.ca if mm-hmm. you want online dog training without the woo-woo. And if you want the woo-woo, or you want to learn about how your dog is mirroring parts of you that might need some loving attention, you can go to canineconnectioncoaching.ca.
Okay, wonderful. And now I will put those in the show notes as well for anybody who didn't catch that, didn't have a chance to write that down. So, well, thank you, Annika, so much for being a guest on the podcast. I'm so very grateful. And this was a wonderful, enlightening talk that we had.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
You're welcome. And to all our listeners, thank you for listening. And we'll see you in the next episode. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you're the kind of person who likes to help others, then share this with your friends and family who have pets. If you have found value, they will too. If you have questions, I'm here to help. Email me questions at contact@enlightenedanimal.com, and I may use your question for a future podcast episode. If you want more, check out my website at www.enlightenedanimal.com. Finally, I have a personal request. Please leave a review wherever you're listening to this podcast, ideally a positive one, so we can reach more people and help more animals' lives. Thanks for listening.